WTFR.
We are sick and tired of the New York media dominating and controlling the news around the world. We are sick and tired of having to keep silent as the white genocide continues. Well, we're not remaining silent anymore. Scream from the fucking rooftops with Mike Sledge here on News White People Can Use, where truth and real news is called anti-Semitic.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of News White People Can Use on the one and only WTFR, where thought is free radio. This is Mike Sledge, soon to be Commander Sledge. I like Commander Sledge. I like that. It's funny hearing that Lincoln Rockwell clip before the show that Sean played. And you hear these Jew journalists going, so Commander Sledge, Commander Rockwell. They're actually recognizing his title as a commander. I'm the commander. I'm Commander George Lincoln Rockwell. And, anyway, welcome everybody. It is January 2nd, 2020. Goddamn, this is the year that Henry Kissinger said if they didn't, ratify the Jew World Order, that we are working towards a Jew World Order, and if it's not ratified by 2020, it will completely fall apart, and we will be holding our dicks in our hand, no pun intended, like at the Bohemian Grove at a gay Malacca ceremony. No pun intended, a geopolitical system and the global money supply and the Trilateral Commission makes it necessary that we tie up all the loose ends, no pun intended, by 2020. It's 2020, and you are failing. You are completely failing, sir. I recognize the fact that I am now like 95 something years old, and I'm way past my prime, and it's 2020 now, and we are failing miserably, and this WTFR channel now is up, and they have a good mix of
It's 2020, and they're failing, folks. They're failing. Their Jew World Order is falling apart. It is completely falling apart. The day of the rope is quickly approaching, and they're hanging themselves with their own technological rope. Great to be here for the, as Sean just said in the chat, the first live show for 2020 on WTFR. Great to be here, and feeling great? Not really. This trying to quit drinking thing is really fucking hard, but I'm going to make it happen. By the way, I'm thinking for my New Year's resolution, it's not to quit drinking. I said on the New Year's Eve show that my New Year's resolution was to quit drinking. I think it's not to quit drinking, but to buy a new car. You see, I have an alcoholic car, and it just, against my will, drives me into liquor stores, and it makes me buy bottles of vodka. I'm like, fuck this. Maybe I need to take this to the dealership for a new alignment. What the fuck is this? Fucking car keeps steering me. I have no control over this car at all. What is this, a fucking Tesla? Was this a Jew Tesla? I have no control over this fucking thing. It just keeps steering me into liquor stores, you fucking bastard. Oh, God. But anyway, great to be here. Goddamn alcoholic car, Sean. What am I going to do? I want to welcome those listening on 1650 AM in Buffalo, New York, and 107.9 in the Aussie Alpines. And I got it right this time. I'm impressed. 107.9. That's like the new sobriety test for my show. I am Commander Sledge, and it is not 105.9. It's 107.9. And by the way, Sean got nasty emails from a classical radio station in Australia that was the it was like the NPR affiliate. The GPR affiliate was actually 105.9.
Excuse me. Will you blow into this bag, sir?
Right. 107.9. Okay, you can go.
Yep, yep. You blow into the bag, and if you blow 107.9, you're in trouble. But if you blow 105.9, which is what you last said on some of your shows, you'll be fine. Okay?
I'll be fine.
By the way, your car is an alcoholic hybrid. You know, you see, the thing you did wrong, Mike, was that you pressed the alcoholic on button. See, if you leave the alcoholic button alone, it'll, when you tell it to self-park, it'll self-park, it'll do everything that it has to do. It'll drive you all the way from the United States, it'll turn into a James Bond car and go over the ocean, and it'll come across to Australia and it'll park right in my driveway. But you hit the alcoholic button. That turns it into the alcoholic hybrid, which drives you through the fucking liquor store. Have I not taught you anything?
I'm trying, Sean. I'm learning. But here's the thing. You know, that would be great to have like a white nationalist alcoholic hybrid that had James Bond features on it. We could, there's a couple Jews trailing us. The SPLC is following us down the road, and we can hit an oil slick and we can gas them. We have the gas button. We can just gas the SPLC from the back of the car.
The SPLC and the ADL. Now, if you see them walking down the street in zigzags, they're sort of like walking down, like left and then right and then left and then right. You know they're following us after a night of drinking. You fucking... Oh.
Dude, and Sean, let me tell you something. These drinking cars that they're coming out with now, where I knew people on probation in the States that... they actually implant this breathalyzer in the car, and it really fucks them up because they're like, I can't get to work now. How am I going to pay my probation fines?
Well, they've been doing this over in Australia for a long time. I've actually got a personal friend. I won't use his name, but one of my personal friends, because he was actually fined for drink driving, they've put this device in his car, and unless he blows onto this thing every now and then, to let it know that he hasn't been drinking, it shuts his fucking car down. Now, this is where we've got to worry about the microchips that they want to put in us. They want to inject microchips into our arm or our brain or whatever. Well, in the end, they're going to tie everything that we need to function, like bank details, Medicare details, all of that, onto this microchip. And if you do something wrong, they just shut the whole shit down. You're not just on the street. You're going to fucking starve. They'll make you look like some piece of shit that dares to talk against tyrannical government. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy as shit. I mean, you're going to get a phone call from your employer like, how come you're not at work? And I'm like, dude, I'm an alcoholic. I couldn't come to work. My car wouldn't let me. I have a fucking Jew Tesla hybrid.
You fucking Alco Tesla. Like, fucking seriously, this is how bad it's gotten. And I never thought it would get to this. To actually hear from my friend say, what happens is he calls me on the phone, and I hear this, and get ready for it, for those of you that have got headphones on, get ready for it. It's going to be deafening. I hear this. I was like, what the fuck was that? Right? And he says, oh, sorry, Sean, hold on a second. I've got to blow into this thing that lets the car know that I'm not drinking. I'm like, what the fuck? What the... 1980 fucking four? Shit.
Oh, dude, it sounds like if you're drunk and you try to drive one of these hybrid Jew cars, it sounds like Sarah Silverman coming out of the gas chamber in the engine. It's fucking crazy.
Not wrong. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, look, I don't want to hijack your show. So, but as we discussed before, before you went to air, I'll comment accordingly on the articles and the things you're talking about, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Let me get into this thing. First of all, I want to comment. We had a great New Year's show. I thought it was an excellent show with you and me and Tabitha and Josh and John Percent. Great fucking show. And this comment is hilarious that's posted on our New Year's Eve show saying that, oh, trouble in paradise. There was disagreements on this. We were having fun. I've talked to Josh since the show. This is what real men can do. This is what real radio is. You know, you fucking debate. You fucking, you know, sharpen your skills through debate, your intellectual skills. You sharpen your intellectual brains through debate. And it doesn't mean anything. It just means that we had a debate and we disagreed on some points and we were friends and we had a drink and that was the show. I mean, but these jokers, these cunts coming from a rent-a-gay over there are unfucking believable. It's a, you know, they were disagreeing on this one thing in a 5-hour fucking show. I'm like, let me tell you something. I can't talk to anybody for 5 hours without having a disagreement. I mean, I'll disagree with myself if I'm talking to myself in a drunken stupor looking in the mirror on a fucking Sunday.
Hell, I disagree with myself when I'm jerking off because I have to swap from the right hand to the left hand. Anyway, go ahead.
The left hand's better because it feels more natural, you know?
It's like, you're right-handed.
Yeah, the old trick for if you're not getting laid and you want to masturbate, this is not like Aryan Radio here, but anyway, it's going to be degenerate. I don't give a fuck. Adult show. What you do is you put your two hands together and it feels like someone else's hand. You can really get wild
But isn't that the thing though, Mike? Isn't it that everybody says, "Oh, it's a degenerate show." Well, it's an adult show. This is not made for children. You know, if you're a parent that allows somebody to listen to this show, there's something bad about you, right? You don't be letting your son or your daughter listen to this show if they're underage. Only adults should be listening to this. So you can have a bit of adult fun. You can enjoy it a bit. We're not degenerates in that we believe in polygamy and threesomes and swingers and all of that. No, we're not. And everybody knows that about us. But that doesn't mean we can't have a joke. We can enjoy ourselves. And that's what we do here on WTFR.
Yeah, if we can't laugh and have a good time, what's the point of fucking living? I mean, you know, life is hard enough as it is in the Jew World Order and Zogland and Clown World. And if you can't poke fun and laugh at what you have to live through on a daily basis, this is, you know, ultimately, I want these shows to be like an escape for the listener. They get bombarded with these Zio weapons of disinformation on a daily basis. And I want them to be able to tune into something where they can escape and laugh for our side, for our people, you know, our humor, our culture, you know. You don't hear all these bastards complaining when some groid comic on Comedy Jew Central talks about degeneracy. They only complain when we do it. And it's not even degenerate. It's just making fun of shit. It's just making fun of their own system that we have to live under. You know, it's when I do jokes, I'm not living this lifestyle. I do jokes to make fun of the Jew culture creation they've created over the years, to make fun of their immorality, to make fun of their fake moral code.
We mock the living shit out of them is what we do. We use mock value to make them look like all the kinds of ridiculous they are. If I could just interrupt just very quickly there, Mike. We've got a Victorian emergency coming through saying that the air quality here in Victoria is really bad. Now, I look out my window, and of course, I can just see thick smoke. I was talking to Tabitha about it earlier. It's so thick, it's not funny. I'm an asthmatic, so I can't go out there without an asthmatic mask, a filter mask. So anybody listening over 107.9 FM here in the local area, just beware that you may need to wear a mask. There is so much smoke in our little town here that it's not funny. I can't see across the street. So just keep
it. Holy shit.
Yeah, oh, it's bad. Yeah. It's really bad. I should get some video footage for you, actually, Mike. But yeah, go ahead, sir. Continue your show. Just wanted to put that warning out there.
Nah, you need to put that up on the website.
I will.
Video footage of how bad it is. That would be great because, you know, I was talking to my wife earlier, and she was saying that she was watching this footage as well on the news here in the States from where you live, and it's unbelievable, man. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's I mean,
it's out of control. I've seen Australia burn a lot. This is why it's called the sunburnt country. There's a reason for it. It's because, you know, we are in a hotter part of the planet. There's no doubt. At one stage, it gets so friggin' cold. Like, we have the two extremes in many parts, especially within Victoria. It was only 4 weeks or probably now 6 weeks ago that we had snow up on Mount Hotham. During summer, it was the start of December, which is when summer starts. And then all of a sudden, we've got this hot, 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 hot weather. JB brought up the fact that it's probably got something to do with HAARP or something like that, and I wouldn't doubt it. You know, even the captain right. and I were talking just the other night, Mike, about how, yeah, it's probably got something to do with HAARP. But in any case, the global warmest went totally fucking quiet when it was Mount Hotham, snowing on Mount Hotham at the start of summer. But then they come straight out and say, look, it's global warming because it's so hot and now we're burning. I'm saying, are you kidding? Did you see what happened in the 80s? Are you joking? It was 53 degrees in Baldale. It was 53 degrees in friggin' Wilcannia. Are you joking? What, we've actually cooled down just because we get a bit of a freak heat wave, as Australia always has once mm-hmm. in a while. You know, it's never been any different. All of a sudden you come out and say, see, it's global. Oh, God, they're fucking retards. Like, retards.
But I'm going to tell you, Sean, it's very interesting. You know, I'm glad you brought up the HAARP because, you know, these are topics that are still relevant to what we live in today. The other topic besides HAARP that you never hear about, you never hear about HAARP anymore in any shows. It's all with the advent of this so-called fake anti-Jew alt-right shit, this fake crap that is totally controlled by the SPLC, in my opinion.
Yeah.
These shows have been taken over to where, yeah, there was conspiratard shit. Yeah, there was ridiculous stuff on some of these shows. And Alex Jones discredited a lot of real topics. But HAARP was a real fucking topic. And another real topic you don't hear no more is the black box voting, the voter fraud situation. Now, all of a sudden, you don't hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
And these are real topics, man.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And you know what? When it comes to HAARP, HAARP now freely admits it. They even admitted, they said that not only can we manipulate the weather. See, once upon a time, this was conspiracy. But they now freely admit it. They brought out articles that I reported on back on Orion. This is what, going back at 2012, I think it was, that I reported on Orion, and they actually say, yes, we can actually manipulate the weather. We tend not to. Tend not to. But then they actually said that we've been also able to X-ray the Earth. And I thought, well, how the fuck does that work? So I started reading up on it. What they do is they bounce a signal off the ionosphere, and it comes mm-hmm. back down and X-rays the Earth. They know where all the caves are. They know where all the caverns are. They can see to the core of the Earth. And there's certain things they're not telling us about the core of the Earth. They won't go into detail, which makes us wonder why. Because if they're actually admitting that they're X-raying the Earth and they know what's going on in the core. Now, let's just remember, just recently, the Earth was almost breathing. The seismic activity that was going off all over Australia, America, England, fucking Iraq, the whole lot. There was seismic activity everywhere, and it was off the charts as if we were having earthquakes. But we weren't having earthquakes. So, okay, where's this seismic activity going? I read something from one scientist that said it's almost as if the Earth has started breathing. That's scary shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well,
that HAARP are not telling us something. They're leaving something out. They're deliberately leaving something out. I think it's something that we will be one day terrified by. You know what it was? You know what I think it might have been? Is when George Carlin said this. The Earth has had to put up with this and that and that and this and this and this. And it's catered to all of it for literally thousands of years. And if she doesn't like what we're doing, she'll shake us off like a bad case of fleas. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And this also gets into, you know, we talk about it a lot on this network, on the, and this, I'm not getting off topic. This relates directly to what we're talking about, Sean, because.
Yeah, don't let me take you off topic, by the way. Don't you, if, when you need to cut me off, you just tell me fuck up and I'll mute.
I want you to stay because I want to have this dialogue with you because it's so important. You know, this goes back to a program that a lot of people have forgotten about, like HARP, like black box voting, like all this kind of stuff that you don't hear on alternative media anymore because it's all fake and controlled shit now. But, you know, the Zionist religion and the World Council of Churches and the technology, you know, they are trying. This is, you know, the Jew World Order is going to make biblical style plagues look like they're real through this technology.
Yeah.
To prop up these religions, man.
Like Bluebeam. Like Project Bluebeam.
Yes, it's real, dude.
Yeah.
Project Bluebeam is one of the most interesting things. And the CIA admits they actually tested that out over Cuba when Castro was there. Not that I'm a fan of Castro, but remember they said they had what's that called when they put a projection?
Holographic.
A hologram of the Virgin Mary over Cuba because it's predominantly Catholic, right?
Yep.
Of Cuba back in like the 60s. Actually did this shit, Sean.
No, they did. It's like the modern bleeding statue. You know, they rigged these statues to bleed from the eyes and everything like that. And people would come from all over the world and say, look, the Virgin Mary's bleeding from the eyes. Well, this is like the modern version of it when it comes to Bluebeam. And it's projecting a hologram into the sky to make people think that, holy God, it's Jesus is coming down. Look, there's Jesus in the sky. And it's like, all it is a hologram. They're using technology to do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, this is one of the big topics that I've always been very, very interested in. And you never really hear it talked about anymore. It's so important because really, and here's the deal, Sean. I believe they're afraid to use it because it's so, you know, this is bigger than 9/11, bigger than, you know, all the other bullshit they pulled over the years. You know, they're not going to actually implement this till they know it's like really, really good. You know what I'm saying? This has to be, if they're going to do it, it can't be a fucking, you know, a bomb, and it's got to be, you know. It's got to look legit when they actually pull it off. But they're working toward it. Make no mistake about it.
Oh, and, they are. And, you know, here's the thing. One of the reasons they're not doing it at the present time is because, see, they planned it. They planned Bluebeam so long ago. But people have woken up since then to this. That a lot of people, like even I speak to some of my son's friends, and they know what that is. So they're sort of like, I wouldn't fall for it. If all of a sudden something came from the sky going like, I am Jesus and you will, they'd go, oh yeah, whatever. That's a fucking hologram. You know, they've woken up to the technology. They've woken up to the bullshit that comes from the Jews and all of that. So now they have to sort of replan. Unfortunately, there will be a big part of the population of the earth that will fall for a hologram. You know, or they're still falling from the whole stigmata. You know, they're still falling for their bleeding eyes and the holes through the hands, even though Jesus, they found out, was didn't even have nails through the hands. He had it through the wrists because if he had have had it through the hands, it doesn't support the weight.
It would have ripped off and he would have fallen off the thing.
That's right. Exactly. So he would have had to have had nails through the wrists to be able to support his weight. It's all like, as George Cullen said, Mike, it's all bullshit and it's bad for you.
Well, but here's the other thing, Sean, that this is a very good topic, is, you know, the Jews, you know, when they basically took over the money system, you know, the Grand Vizier system in Egypt, and they took over the currency and they eventually used that to take over and create all the Abrahamic religions. All the Abrahamic religions are different versions of Judaism.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
And, you know, and they use you know, Protestantism, Martin Luther, the Order of the Rosy Cross, or the Pope, or Islam. And by the way, Islam was created by the Catholic Church. A lot of people don't know this. Islam, you know, I used to say on my old shows, the Pope don't wear a yarmulke for nothing, man.
Exactly. And let's not forget that you take a look at countries like Lebanon. Like Lebanon, actually, they're predominantly Catholic, and there's a reason for that. It's because Islam was created out of Catholicism, and then but what happens is Lebanon held on to the Catholicism sect, which is Islam moved on.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, man. And they got this whole thing planned out to where it's the perfect trifecta. I did a show years ago back on the other network. I won't mention them because I don't want to give them any credit. But I did a show there years ago, and it was I think I did it in Oracle as well. I called it the religious trilateralism, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, the three branches of the Zionist control grid. And let me tell you something, man. This whole thing has been set up. And then they bring atheism in on top of that, which is another form of humanism, which basically is communism, and Christianity is communism, Islam is communism, Judaism is communism. Communism has always been their goal, and the major religions are different forms of communism.
And people like you and me, you and I, we get accused of being communists because we don't necessarily have a religion. For instance, I don't have a religion. My religion, I guess I do have a religion. It's called Seanism. I'm just Sean. So what happens is they say, oh, you're an atheist. I said, no, I'm not an atheist. You're an agnostic. No, I'm not an agnostic. Well, what are you then? You're not a Christian. You're not Islamic. You're not Judaic. You're not this. You're not that. You're blah, 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 blah. And I go, no, I'm just Sean. I'm just me. That's it. That's all I need to be. I just need to be me. You know?
Yeah, dude. The truth is within you. Natural law. It's the whole thing. And I firmly believe this, by the way. Natural law is what these organized religions are trying to overturn, because it goes against the natural way and the natural order of life itself. And anything that goes against the natural order of life is against the grand order of the universe.
The natural sway of things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and their whole goal is, through religion, which was their first, the priesthood class, which was their first way of controlling the masses through different religions based upon their cultural differences. They created different religions to go into different cultures that would be easier to be used to control them. And then they created, technology as the new, you can really say that Silicon Valley is the new religion, man. And it's going to be used to prop up the major Abrahamic religions down the road.
Well, isn't it already?
Isn't
it already? I mean, you take a look at the internet now. They've got forums left and right and center dedicated to all this stuff. And so you don't need that hologram in the sky anymore. All you need is all these different forums promoting their agenda. You know, whether it be Agenda 21 or Agenda 2020, it doesn't matter. They're already promoting this stuff. This is we are in the technocracy that is mind-fucking our youth and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Sean, because really the reality here is, and many people forget this, and this is one thing the Oracle did a good job when we were on that network. You know, they actually exposed technocracy in a way that was really ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of that aspect of that network, because it did a good job on that. All the hosts on there did, really. Even the ones I disagree with on other things. The technocracy issue is a big deal, because what people don't understand is, you have this fake left-right wings of the same Jewish bird of prey. Oh, it's communism. Oh, it's fascism. It's neither. It's neither of those. What you are now living under is a new Zio-Jewish technocracy grid that is a totally different system. It's never been done before. Anyway, I hear the music. Pick it up on their side. That's what people can use.
Inductive logic. Reasoning from specific instances to a general conclusion that is broader than what can be logically inferred from the instances. For example, our observation that the sun rose today, yesterday, and all the days we know about before yesterday gives rise to the conclusion that the sun has always come up and will continue to come up every day, even though this cannot be logically inferred from the known instances. Note, this example will not work for our readers at the North Pole. Contrast, deductive logic. From the book Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar by Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein.
Yes, welcome back. News White People Can Use. This is Mike Sledge on the one and only WTFR Radio. And me and Sean are talking about, you know, this is important stuff we're talking about here. Because let me break this down. And the one thing moving into the new year, it's a new year, 2020. And this being the first broadcast on this great platform that I thank Sean for all the time, is the fact that we mix true topics that nobody talks about anymore because they were systematically discredited by people like Alex Jones, by the alt-right, by all these disinformation experts.
Not just that, if I may interrupt, Mike.
Yeah, go, John.
To be disrespectful, but the thing is, not just that. There was another side to this. The reason they stopped talking about it is because it wasn't making them money anymore. You see, we went through time frames where people spoke about this and people started jumping on the bandwagon because they thought, oh, look, there's money to be made when it comes to conspiracy theory. Let's jump on that. And there was a huge aspect to Oracle, even though I give them respect where it's due, like you were saying, they brought up certain topics that needed to be discussed and needed to be enlightened, if you will. Well, what happens is they only did it, though, because there was a bandwagon where they could make money. You people like you and I always did it because we wanted to improve white Western civilization. That was our main goal. And I was so naive. I used to be on the Oracle bandwagon myself thinking, oh, this is great. This is a great platform, rah, rah, rah. But then I realized that, you know, Doug Owen and Lee Rogers and others, they were just doing it, unfortunately, because they knew where the money was, Mr. Sheffield. You take a look at fucking, what's his name? That piece of shit that did, God, the little bald half Asian looking faggot. What's his name? England, right? He fucked his way across Asia, right? He fucked his way across Asia with all these Asian girls, but then he saw a bandwagon, which was white Western civilization, white nationalism, and he thought, I can make some money from this. So he jumped on it. And that's the sort of shit I can't stand. See, I've always done this because I want white Western civilization, you know, especially having children, to improve. I want my kids to be able to grow up in a really good white Western civilization. So there's also that thing to where some of them just jumped on it. And the reason it's not being spoken about anymore is because times have changed. All right, we're no longer talking about Bluebeam, so there's no money to be made there. We're going to fuck off over here and we're going to talk about something else because there's money being made there. Money, money, money for some people. Mike, that's what it's all about, mate. I tell you, there's exactly what you were saying, but also what I'm saying. This is what made them do what they're doing then and now.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. By the way, it would be funny. I'm sure there's copyright violations if you did this, but one of the most funniest commercials that Oracle used to play was, extend your life. Extend your life.
Oh, are you having a hard time getting your dick hard?
You and I remember extend. It was fucking terrible.
But you know,
shit. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? We both sung it at the same time because we knew exactly what it was. That was one of those breaks that Jimmy and I used to sit behind the scenes and go, extend your life. Like, fuck off.
I listened to Jimmy X. You and Jimmy X on Sundays sometimes, you know, and on Oracle, and y'all would constantly go back to making fun of the Extended Vite commercials, and Jimmy X used to go, God damn it, I swear to God, now this fucking song's going to be stuck in my head all goddamn day. Fucking Extended Vite.
Oh, it's bloody terrible. Not just that, like... Moses, the gold of Moses, or the condom of Moses. Yes, if you want to have an extensive erection, then you need the condom of Moses. Jesus Christ, it used to drive us fucking nuts.
No, this one used to drive me crazy. Stickers.
You're missing in your life? Stickers. Like, oh, fuck off, moron. I'm missing stickers in my life. You know, the only stickers I'm missing in my life are scratch and snip. Oh no, I won't go into that subject. Anyway,
No.
I won't do it.
Don't do it. I swear to God. Well, maybe we'll do it in the second hour. We'll do it how that scratch and shift. Snip is kind of like Chinese food.
Scratch and shit. Oh, man. I tell you. You know that you and I are going to get some emails after this one. We're just positively primeval.
Well, that's the only way to be, man. Evil is only live backwards.
Right? You know, here's the thing, though. You know what? People are loving it. I'm getting emails left, right, and goddamn center about our sins. You know, Sean, you know, some of the stuff you and Mike talk about is just absolutely disgusting, but I love it.
Well, you know, we discuss the things that they can't do, you know.
That they don't want to. Yeah, that they don't want to.
But they're too afraid to talk about, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't care anymore, you know?
I just don't give a shit about the bullshit.
I love my family, I love all this shit. But, you know, at the end of the day, this system is so fucked. I really don't give a fuck if people get offended. I want people to get offended. I want people to get pissed off. That's a great thing.
It's the only way.
They're closer to accepting what we're saying.
It's the only way you can get people to prick their ears up. You know, I used to think that being nice on Oracle, remember how we had to be nice on Oracle and I had to be nice on Orion? I always used to think that that's the only way to be. But we've got more listeners than ever before. And that's because people are sick of the bullshit. They're sick of having to sit down on their hands and say nothing. You know what? You and I say it raw. We say it brutal. We say it as it is. It's the only way you can get people to wake up when you're actually sitting there and saying, this is the way it is. Stop lying to yourself. Okay. Stop fucking lying to yourself. You know it as well as I do. This is what's going on. I'll point it out to you. Rah, rah, rah. And then they're sitting in the background emailing me going, Sean, you're absolutely right. I don't want to say it, but you're saying it for me. That's the way it's happening.
Yeah, and Sean, the biggest fucking bullshit trap that the so-called right wing or the so-called what we do or white nationalism community is making right now is this whole, they're falling into the whole morality trap just like the Christian Coalition or the evangelicals. Oh, you know, we have to be, you know, to a higher standard. I mean, and I'm not saying, you know, I live my life on a very high standard. I don't cheat on my woman. I'm very loyal. I'm loyal to the people that know me. But what I'm saying is this system promotes a fake morality that deserves no respect at all.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier. That's what I was talking about earlier. What I'm saying is we do have high morals. Just because we use bad language and this is an adult show, it doesn't mean that we don't have high morals behind the background. For instance, if I'm walking down the street and a nigger walks up to me and he says, hey, how you going, brother? I say, "Hello, how you going, mate? Nice to meet you." I shake his hand and we have a bit of a chat and I walk on. This doesn't mean that I think for a second that he should be within our communities. I think he needs to be on his own reserve. Oh, I'm not going to be disrespectful, though, but the show is what it is. It's about trying to get people to understand through mock value, comedy, and all of that, that they need to be on their own land. Where, like, you have high moral value in that you respect your wife and you would not sleep behind her back and everything. I think that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing that white Western civilization has. Just because we use some comedy and some jokes and everything like this here on the broadcast does not mean for a second that we're degenerates. It's just that this is an adult show and we're using comedy and certain other aspects to get people to understand what's going on in the world. So I would never sleep behind a girl's back. You would never sleep behind a girl's back.
I would never do it.
You know, and this is what it's all about. It's sort of like, okay, we use high moral value, but on the show, we use mock value and comedy to bring it to the table. That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah, and here's the whole deal. This Jew system uses fake morality to control us, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, they don't follow the same moral code they put out that they expect us to follow. That's all like a goy code that they want you to follow to have one arm tied behind your back while they fuck you, okay? And you know, but they don't live by anything. But they expect you to live by this moral code. And what drives me crazy, I knew people in my family that are like, you know, "Oh, you shouldn't talk that way about them." You know, I'm like, are you kidding me? They're raping our children. They're stealing our money. They're stealing our property. And I can't tell a fucking joke? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's sick, Sean.
It's absolutely. It's disgusting.
It's fucking Jew Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, it is. It fucking is. You know, my mother said to me, I'm talking about my biological mum that I don't get along with very well. I get along better with my adoptive ma. What happens is my bio mum once said, "I don't know why you talk about the Aboriginals the way you do, Sean." I said, "Why is that, mum?" "Well, because I've not had any problem with them." I said, "Mum, you've lived beside one Aboriginal that lived in a totally white street. Of course, he's going to behave himself. Because if he doesn't, he knows the whites are going to come across and hand his ass to them. I, on the other hand, through my teenage years, since you left me when I was 14, thank you very fucking much, by the way, And what happens, I said, I grew up around their entire neighborhoods. So when you've got 20 blacks per household in 20 households down the neighborhood, guess what happens? You're the one of the whites there. What do you think they're going to think about you? I think they would have treated you nice, Sean. All right, Mum, I'll tell you something. I'm very sorry to say this because you're my mother. You brought me into the world. But fuck you. See you later. Seriously, it's that bad.
Yeah. Sean.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're absolutely right, dude. And this is what I'm talking about. I knew people in my family that get mad when I tell a joke, like a Jew joke or a black joke, whatever, and they're like, "Oh, you know, it's horrible, you know, how you said that and all this, and we need to be on a higher standard and all this." And I'm like, yeah, that's why we've been getting our fucking ass handed to us since 1945, motherfucker. We've been getting killed in this debate because we don't have the balls to stand up to him and to make fun of him. Now, look, I do not like Donald Trump. He's an Israel ass kisser. But the one thing that drives me crazy, the one thing that he does do right, is the fact that, you know, when he bashes the left, he goes all out. He doesn't give a fuck. Even though it's fake and it's gay, he still goes all out.
The one thing that Jimmy and X and I came to agreement with, because him and I had very heated debates about Trump.
Yeah.
Because I got off the plane in 2016, and as I got off the plane, Jimmy said, "Hey, Trump got in." I was like, "Yeah." And I thought it was a great idea because he's talking about getting rid of illegal immigration and all of this other stuff and possibly even third world immigration. So I thought it was a great thing. I was like, we were patting each other on the back. I got right off the plane there, Mike. And I was like, yeah, Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy, it's fucking great. And he's like, yeah, did you? So we were having a really great time. We got drunk that night. We celebrated. It was fucking fantastic. But then as I was looking into what Trump was doing, I was sort of thinking, oh, this is fucking terrible. This is absolutely terrible. He hasn't really fulfilled any of his promises.
Oh, no.
You know, and to this day, he's still...
It's another Ronald Reagan situation. You know, Ronald Reagan went to the John Birch Society. He spoke to anti-communist groups in the late 70s. He built up this fake outsider personality. You know, he promised when he got elected he wouldn't put any CFR people or trilateral people in his cabinet. And then when he got elected, he had more in there than Jimmy Carter had. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with Trump. But it still means we're winning.
Let me finish my speech just for a quick sec. The one thing that Trump did, and I'm sure you'll agree, is this. Even though he has not fulfilled any of his promises, or almost all any of his promises, he's fulfilled a couple. The one thing that has really put a plus in our pocket is this. That he opened the minds of all the people around America and the world. He was the talking point here in Australia. Like, as soon as he's never stopped being the talking point since his inauguration. So what happens is he, and I was there, to see, how his inauguration, stage was being built, at the White House, by the way. So what happens is, what he did is he opened the minds of people, even if he sucks the dick of Israel, and I fucking hate that. I can't stand that shit. As far as I'm concerned, he's a fucking crypto Jew. But the moment he said, we're going to stop this illegal immigration, it allowed people to open their mouths finally. Even over here in Australia, and we have hate speech laws here that can put you in prison for 3 years. So all of a sudden, now people are going, oh, I can finally speak out. Trump, the president of the United States, a fucking hyperpower, is talking about stopping third world immigration. So all of a sudden, Australians and Americans alike opened their mouths because they were too scared to do so beforehand. Now they had Trump signs, they had fucking all sorts of shit when I was over there. And not just that they were, like, when you're talking to an American, they're sort of like, oh, thank God Trump said that we can stop the third world immigration, because now I can say it. Since the president, the new president is saying it, I can say it too. That's the one thing that he did right.
Well, Sean, here's the way I see it. And people miss, you know, when I left Renegade and I started doing podcast after that, supporting the Trump campaign, and I made it clear back then, I really didn't support the Donald Trump campaign. I knew he was a phony from the beginning.
Yeah.
But my reasoning for supporting it was this. The fact that they have to fake some white nationalist rhetoric in this candidate means that we are moving the ball in our direction. Don't think for a minute. They played with our numbers. They played with we have had success over the last 20 years through putting out information, and it is working in our direction. The fact that they had to run this fraud, this fake candidate that spoke some of our language and some of our rhetoric, means that we are winning, man.
Yeah.
This is like the Kaiser apologizing and capitulating to Hitler, you remember, in Germany. This is what this is.
Yeah.
We are moving Western civilization in our direction. We are winning, and there's no reason to feel down about that.
Absolutely.
It's a positive thing in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, like I've spoken about this recently with you and Tabitha, both on air and off air, is that we're winning indeed. You take a look at the forums and the comments that are coming in, left, right, and center, whether it be from the KFC forum right to, you know, the Reddit forums, all of those. You see people left, right, and center, especially the millennials and everything like that, all age groups now, that are saying, you know what, we're sick to death of this bullshit propaganda that's coming out to try and brain dirty us. As Beattie used to say, John Beattie, or whatever his name was. I always forget what order it goes in. But the thing is, it's like he said straight away, he said, you know, we're actually we're winning, and he's the founder of the Canadian Nazi Party. And he said, we're winning, and he's right. Like, we're actually winning right now. Like, you take a look at the forums, it's changing. There's a big change coming. There's a storm happening, you know?
Yeah, and I view Trump as, like, the finger in the dike, no pun intended. the finger, you know, Trump was the finger in Hillary Clinton's cunt, you know? He was the finger in the dike.
No. I think you misunderstand it. The finger in the dike was B.A. Baracus in in Nancy Reagan.
My mother. There is no other. But dude, we are fucking moving the debate. We are winning this thing.
Yeah.
And look, if they didn't think, Trump never would even have been selected in this fake left-right Jew paradigm, Hegelian dialectic, he would never have even have been put in there if they didn't think they needed to put him in there to try to appease and calm our side down. Because they know that we are losing patience each and every day, and the inevitable is coming. And like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, Sean, Henry Kissinger said back in 1970, that if we don't consolidate the Jew World Order by 2020, it will fall on its own weight. That's what he said. It's 2020, and we're gonna fucking win this, man.
He literally came out and said that, you know, we're gonna be fucked. That was like, you know, it's not a verbatim quote, of course, but in his own words.
No, it's not a verbatim quote, but, you know, it was the spirit of what he tried to say.
Yeah, it was basically saying, we're going to be fucked by 2020. We're going to be fucked. And have a look at it. Have a look at all the forums. Have a look at YouTube. They're shutting down comments. Have a look at the media. They won't take certain calls or anything like that that are going to suit what white Western civilization stands for. So, yeah, no, without a doubt, we're winning. You're absolutely right, Mike.
And one of the most exciting things that I love, Sean, is the fact that Hollywood, which people need to understand, you have the news media, the Jews media, and you have Juliewood, Hollywood. Hollywood is really the most important weapon in the information war, not to be like Alex Jones, but seriously, the Jews have.
Well, because Hollywood and the media.
Yeah. It's the same thing. But Hollywood works in conjunction with the Pentagon. It works in conjunction with the War Department. All this shit is true. We've known this for years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, you and I have.
They are using... Look at their ticket sales, man.
Yeah.
Their movies aren't selling like they used to at all. They're not. People aren't going to see that shit anymore.
Hey, Mike, if I could bolster your thought there, what happens is the captain and I went to see It 2. We've seen It 1, you know, Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Well, we went to see Stephen King's It 2. Guess how many people were in the theater? Now, I remember back in the 90s when Terminator 2 came out, right?
That cinema's
fucking packed. It was fucking packed, and there was specialist seats and everything like that. It was fucking packed. Well, we just recently, maybe a month and a half ago, we went to see It too. I said, Captain, do you want to go see It too? He said, yep, all right. Order the bus to make sure it's got an wheelchair thing, because they have to lift him up in the wheelchair and all that.
Right.
And I was like, yep, all right, we'll do that. And we went in there and we watched it. And guess what? There were four people.
Dude.
Once upon a time, it would have been packed, but there were four people. Seriously.
Yeah, I remember going to see Terminator 2 back in like 1992.
Yeah.
With my cousin from Russia who was visiting in the States. And, oh shit, now I'm going to probably be investigated as part of the Russian collusion.
Hey, Mike, I've got to let you know. I'm going to have to kill you. You have evaded the people for a long time, but you're not going to anymore. You and your Terminator 2 will not go, right?
It sounds like a cross between a Russian Abbo Jew and a Russian and Mahatma Gandhi.
I sort of was. I'm still half drunk after last night's show.
Oh, I haven't stopped yet.
I haven't either.
Oh God. But seriously, I remember going to see T2 back in the day, and it was packed with fucking groids, you know, interrupting the movie. Oh shit, man. You know how they talk during the movies.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, man. Fuck's gonna happen next, shit. Schwarzenegger gonna kick some butt. Oh man, nigga, shit. and now you go into a movie theater and you're like, you feel like you're at a Pee Wee Herman, porno, right? Flick, you know, jacking off back with Vaseline on some Jew's back that owns the fucking,
right after he's licked an acidic Jew.
Yeah, an acidic Jew.
You know, here's the thing though, for the Australians, in case you don't know who Pee Wee Herman is, and I know that a lot of them don't because I've spoken to a lot of Australians about it. Here's the thing. Pee Wee Herman was some fucking weird ass character that had a pin Jew head. It was like he could stick his head up Sinead's ass and still come out the same. And then what happens is he ended up jerking off in a theatre. He was sitting in a theatre and he ended up jerking off and he got charged for it. So
by the way, he was jerking off to a porno called Nurse Betty.
I didn't know the name of it.
Well, of course I do. He's like, oh my God. Paul Rubens is his real name. Paul Rubens.
Oh my God. My head stuck up Sinead's ass.
I know you are, but what am I? By the way, that sounded like the comment that we had in the New Year's Eve show from one of our Antifa pals. It was like, I know you are, but what am I? What are you going to do next? The fucking Nazi, fake Nazi, Jewy Howie Mandel fucking latex glove over the head?
Gallagher
on the network to try to compete with us? What the fuck is next, man?
Hey, Mike, have you ever noticed that when the Antifa call in, the last thing you hear is this? And you go, what the hell was that? And that's when they took their head out of Sinead's asshole.
Oh!
But what am I?
I'm telling you.
Oh, God, Pee Wee's Big Adventure. I'm going to go up Sinead's ass.
Oh, shit. Yep.
I mean, dude, we need to come up with a fucking video. We'll call it a Renegades Big Adventure, and it'll be one of their fanboys. It's Pee Wee Herman sticking his head up Sinead's ass. We'll be right back.
If a racist is a person that recognizes the differences between race and then identifies the superiorities and inferiorities between those different races, then yes, I am a racist. And I wear that title proudly, and I think that you should too. There is something beautiful about being able to recognize the differences between races, but there's something even more beautiful in having the freedom to be able to notice the differences when it comes to the superiorities and the inferiorities between those races.
WTFR.
Okay, Mike has stepped away for a bit of a breather. Not sure what he's doing, in fact. what are you doing, Mike? You there?
Hello?
he's disappeared. He's disappeared. This is the pattern of Mike and Surplus.
Thanks, brother. I'm back. I couldn't take it anymore. I can't smoke in my rental property, so god damn it, I'm a fucking degenerate smoker. And
you degenerate.
When that nicotine calls, I need my fucking breaks like 20 seconds longer.
I hope that Antifa call in today. By the way, I wouldn't do it during god. The I wouldn't do it during the New Year's show because I didn't want it destroyed. But if they want to call in and challenge us, by all means they can. Give out the numbers there, Mike.
Oh, I'm ready, man. Let me pull this up here. Yeah, the number. If you want to call in, Antifa, if you're drunk on Ice House because you have Cheeto dick in your parents' basement and you want to call in and argue with us on the pro qualities of Che Guevara in America, 512-487-7226. That's 512-487-7226. Or in Australia, 001-111-512-487-7226. And I got to say it like Michael the Wiener Savage when he does his call-out line because it's the best. He goes, you want to call in? You want to argue with me? Oh, hey, 512-487-7226. 512-487-726.
It's like the pukers. It's like the pukers. They're like 512-487-7226. Sounds like they're gonna throw up. 512-487-7226. Call in now. It's like
you are listening to WABC.
WTFR. You're listening to WTFR. Blah.
Right? You listen to WTFR. It's be careful on the highways and byways. The traffic report coming in Skycopter 1 coming in the morning this morning. It's crazy on the roads. A lot of kikes, a lot of Hasidic Jews trying to sell blood diamonds. They're blocking the highways coming into your work a day. It's going to be a little rainy.
We're in the helicopter, right?
512-487-7226. You want to go in?
We're in the helicopter right now, and we're just looking down at the traffic, and I can see a nigger licking an acidic Jew. Oh, it's
Skycopter 1 is the Mandela effect. We're flying over Skycopter 1 in South Africa, and I see Winnie Mandela putting a fucking necklace tire around the neck of a white guy. Never mind that. 512-487-7226.
What's the sound? It's the sound of a nigger licking an acidic Jew.
Yo, man, that Jew tastes just like Popeye's new chicken sandwich, man. Shit.
What you be God talking damn. About, brother? What you be talking about? You don't be talking about our niggas like that, brother.
Shit, our niggas get the finest chicken. It's the one they throw over their head in Brooklyn when they do their ceremonies, and they put all their sins and shit in that fucking chicken that they sell at Popeye's, man. You're going to love my chicken, nigga. Shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, wrong accent. Well, brother, what happens is I do know that when your niggas over there,
They actually put their sins into the chicken. Well, we're the one to eat it over here in Australia because us little abos, we really don't have a high IQ at all to realize that we're eating other people's sins. So we eat the chicken and we cut the head off the turkeys, Max.
Shit. I like the breast, man. I like the white meat, man. You know what I'm saying? Where the white women's at? Shit, nigga. Goddamn. Yo, is that fucking strawberry soda to go up that fucking breast? Shit. Now, you know, what's funny, man, is the show, you know, I listen to talk radio when I drive to work early in the morning. I got to go to work early in the morning. And, dude, they still use these AM channels, Sean. And you and I being radio lovers, man, and just a... It's amazing to listen to how outdated AM radio, talk radio, is now in the big cities. I live in the metro Atlanta area, and to listen to a talk radio show on like a 95.5 FM in Atlanta is fucking amazing. It sounds like fucking WKRP in Cincinnati or something. It's like they got Dr. Johnny Fever coming on now as the new libertarian.
By the way, I was watching Pornhub and I was whacking off to it. By the way, that Donald Trump's amazing.
Like, Jesus.
How the fuck are you connecting these two things? Right. You porn and fucking right-wing politics. It's fucking disgusting. Be careful on the highways and byways. Skycopter one.
Well, I know how they can link the two. It's because Pornhub and Trump. Okay, let's take a look at Pornhub, which I have. I was a porn addict at one stage. I admit it. There's no doubt about it. Now I have a better imagination and just jerk off to my imagination. But here's the thing. You've got Trump that is sitting there going, grab her on the pussy. And then you've got Pornhub. So yeah, you can pretty much link the two together.
I mean, it's fucking crazy though, because you hear these so-called right-wing shows on like metropolitan American city, you know, they're like shock jock, you know, the fucking morning zoo shows, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, the fucking, you know, which we despise. We fucking hate the morning
zoo. We fucking
zoo
can't
shows.
Stand them. Yeah, yeah.
No, they're the worst, man. They're like, you know, you got a, by the way, Donald Trump is amazing. He's putting America first. Build the wall. By the way, we got a... Rachel Jennings from Pornhub, who likes to take it up the ass, coming on in the second hour. And then also, we got Doug Stanhope appearing tonight at the Punchline.
Not just Doug Stanhope. You know, he did some good things when it comes to insulting the Jews.
I actually like Doug Stanhope.
I sort of do, I sort of don't. I'm a half-half
with
him.
He's a degenerate. He really is a degenerate.
He's a dickhead. He's a fucking idiot. He's a moron. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to Doug Stanhope and what was the other one you mentioned just a second ago?
Well, you know, it's like we got Jenna Jameson coming on. She's got the new Trump album out, and she's taking up the ass on Pornhub later today.
Yeah,
and, you know,
like
build that, the
like,
wall,
like
build
Jenna.
The wall.
Like,
by
take
the way,
a look at Jenna. All of these alt kike. I don't call them alt right. I call them alt kike assholes. They come along and they say, oh, yeah, we're so great. Like, you take a look at Richard Spencer. Oh, we're so great. We're the alt-right. I mean, where is he now? He's gone. He's fucking disappeared, and there's a fucking good reason for it. It's because he was inviting, like, the Milo Yiannopoulos and the fucking, what was that disgusting person, Roosh V, that said that it should be okay to rape somebody if it's in your household. Now, guess what, by the way? I was the one who stopped that prick from coming to Australia. I wrote to him and I said, hey, listen, me and some of my white nationalists are going to meet you at the fucking airport. And we are going to let you have it with both fucking barrels. As soon as you get down a dark alley, as soon as you are not viewed by the public, you're fucking done. And then all of a sudden he wrote a statement. And anybody can look this up, by the way. He wrote a statement saying there's some aggressive Australians that don't want me in their country, so we're not going to go do that. Yeah.
It's fucking priceless, man.
Yeah, it was fucking priceless, all right. And I wrote straight away afterwards, and I said, hey, this dude's not coming here because I'll fucking hand his ass to him. I didn't care at that point if I had to do prison time. I really didn't. I've done jail time in the past, not prison time, but jail time. So I didn't give a shit.
The thing is, he's going to come across to my country where I have a daughter, and he's going to say that it's okay to rape someone's daughter because as long as it's in the household. Yeah, fuck you, cunt. Yeah. No way.
Yeah. I did hear a funny Doug Stanhope skit the other day, because I listen to other comics to get material for my own stand-up, which I still am trying to perform, because what I'm trying to put together, Sean, is I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try to pull it off, is a actual white nationalist comedy set in front of a live audience, record it, and put it up on WTFR. That's what I'm working on right now.
Well, and you know what, if I may say, you said to me at one stage, Sean, you and I could do some stand-up together, right? And I agree with that. I've never done stand-up before. I've done public speeches, but the thing is, I've never done stand-up. Here's the thing, stand-up comedy on a stage. Here's the thing. We could do that. All you have to do, though, is advertise it to the right audience. So if you think that you're just going to be able to advertise it to everybody... And then,
well, actually, to be honest with you, I did a lot of my material I do on my shows back in the day in the 90s in clubs, and you know, to mixed audiences, you know, blacks, whites, that kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't really, they fucking laughed at my shit. I never really had any problems from.
So there you go.
It was funny stuff, man. They're like, yeah. The only people that didn't like it were the Jew comedy club owners that were like. Yeah, but even they didn't care in the end. They were like, yeah, the bar sales are pretty good tonight. I'll let him come back.
Well, and here's the thing, too. And here's the thing, too, Mike. Here's the thing, too. As I've said in the past and as you've said in the past, this is about bringing people in through comedy to hear what we've got to say. A lot of these blacks, they'll walk away from saying from what we're saying, and they're saying, oh, well, you know what? They're right. You know, if we're so intelligent, why don't we go back to our country and improve it? Or why don't we just at least, if we can't go back to our own country, why don't we at least go back to our own black neighborhoods and let our blacks know that what we're doing is fucked up? This is how we attract people. We attract it through comedy, food when it comes to Tabitha. God, that girl really is sinful.
Oh,
she reaches up through my stomach. Seriously, she's like, you know, Sean, guess what? I've got something to say. And if I wanted to, I could say, I don't want to hear it, but I can't, because she reaches up through my stomach and goes, taste this. And she gives me this recipe and everything. I'm like, oh shit, that's fucking nice.
Oh,
what a
dude,
great hamburger, you know?
Dude, her show is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Like we said in the New Year's Eve show, it's a great mix. I really like where we're headed. But getting back to the material and shit like that, dude, let me tell you something, man. I've had more backlash from self-hating white liberals than I have any other group. I hate to say it, but it's absolutely the truth, man.
Well, you know, here's the thing. White liberals are nothing like us. They're nothing like us. White liberals are niggers. That's plain and simply it.
They're fucking worse than niggers.
Yeah.
Because they hate themselves.
Yeah.
At least niggers love themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The niggers, like the niggers that I met in fucking East Buffalo, they fucking love.
White people hate themselves, man.
Yeah, the niggers that I met in East Buffalo, especially one particular nigger. I wouldn't even call him a nigger. He's a black man. I spoke about it just the other night. I'm not going to speak about it again. People can go back and listen to it. But the thing is, he wasn't a self-loathing fucking black dude. But I see these white self-loathing people that are like, oh, we're so evil because we killed the niggers. We killed the Abbos, right? All of this other horse shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I look him right in the eye and I go, did you kill a nigger? And they go, what? I go, did you kill an Abbo? No. Okay, so why are you self-loathing? Self-loathing. Are you really that self-loathing that even though you haven't killed a nigger, you haven't killed an Abbo? Oh, yeah, but you know, it's fucking disgusting, man.
Sean, when I was doxed at a job previously, and by a white person, I was doxed. Well, I was doxxed at two jobs. One by a lesbian.
Yeah, you were saying that last night. Yeah.
And a white person. I've been doxxed twice at jobs for doing shows. And I got to say, this is the part that pisses me off. Back, you know, it's gotten a little better now. But, you know, I got no support from my own white people at all. They fucking threw me under the bus because they care more about the Jew shekels than they do about anything else. And they threw me under the fucking bus. And, you know, I actually had fucking groids coming up to me going, yo, man, we know you a white nationalist and shit, man, but it's pretty funny shit, man. I mean, honestly, dude, this is my experience. I mean, it's horrible.
But remember, but remember what I said on the broadcast, the New Year's broadcast was this. They're no longer white. They're no longer white,
no,
Mike.
No.
They are.
They're fucking race traders.
They're now Jews or niggers. Yep. They are basically. Yep. They've totally divorced their walk of life. So therefore, they might have the white pigment, but they're no longer whites. They are people. They are niggers or Jews, and that's the way it is, or Islam or whatever. They're no longer whites. So I don't treat them that way. When I come across a so-called white that has the white pigment and he says, oh, I'm ashamed to be white, I say, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking idiot. Yeah. You dirty motherfucker. I'll smash you. You know, the thing is, they're no longer whites. So when we say, you know, well, I no longer have faith in my whites, what we're really saying is no longer have faith in the wiggers. Because that's what they are.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree, man. But getting back to this other thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is my plan, man, for this special, man. I want to fucking do this special. And I think I have a form, which I might be able to do it at, and record it. Audio only. But a live comedy show. I think it could change shit, man. It's, you know, it's never been done. I mean, when has it ever been done? I mean, it's about time. You know, I actually emailed. There's a fucking show. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called WTF with Mark Maron. He's a Jew radio host. He's liberal as fuck. He used to be on Air America. You know, I listen to a lot of his podcasts because he's a good interviewer. I can actually look over the fact if someone's not on my side and still listen. You know, I listen to NPR just to hear information, even though I know it's bullshit. I still can listen. Intelligent people can take what they need to take out of certain things, right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I actually emailed this guy and said, dude, you know, I'm a fucking comic and I do stand up and I'm a fucking white nationalist. I mean, you have all these other fucks on your show. Why don't you fucking have me on your show to talk? I mean, I'm a white nationalist comic. Don't you find it interesting? Even if you bash me for 2 fucking hours, I'll put up with it. Because I think it'll be groundbreaking. I mean, eventually they're going to have to, because their little alt-kike, alt-right program is failing, and they're going to have to deal with us eventually, Sean. They're going to have to deal with us, the real people, the real white guys. They're going to have to deal with us, man. You know,
they're not just going to have to deal with us when it comes to network wise. They're going to have to deal with us physical wise.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people over in America. In fact, I know more people in America than what I do here in Australia. And they're pissed off with the Antifa, and they're pissed off with Tinia and all of that. You know, Tinia might have her Glock 9 and everything ready, but that Glock 9 is not going to save her. When these people are pissed off, and they're going to have their day. There's no doubt about it. They'll just be waiting until she's walking down the street one day, and then they'll grab her. And I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating violence against her. Well, I am. But the thing is, when it becomes legal, I'm advocating.
That's one of my jokes. When it becomes legal.
Yep. When it becomes legal, I'm advocating it, but not at the moment. Here's the thing, though. I can't control the people that can't stand that bitch. This mongoloid, eye-fucking-bearing fuck, she's going to cop it. She's pissed off too many people. Whether she be Mossad or anything, whether she be Masada or not, the fact remains is she's pissed off so many people that she's going to have no protection, plain and simply. Let me just say that I've heard, like I've read enough emails to say that when it becomes legal, this bitch, she's going to cop it. She's going to cop it right there in front of her fucking ginger nigger. He'll cop it as well, but not before she cops it in front of his eyes. Let me just say that.
Well, yeah, let me say this, that, I sound like Richard Nixon now. Let me say this. but seriously, look, here's the funny thing. These liberals and groids like to talk about, have you noticed that liberals and groids, self-hating white people and groids always have 9mm, which is the most weakest gun
it really
you
is.
Can possibly have? Dude, yeah. I have a 350 fucking 7, okay? It's the dirty, hairy Clint Eastwood model. And let me tell you something, man. This motherfucker, this gun... you know, a 9mm, you know, you're going to fucking need a huge... You know, I don't need a fucking clip for my 357 because it just fucking... One of them is all I need.
Hey, Mike. I don't have a 357. I don't have a .45 Colt automatic. I don't have... right? I don't have a 458 elephant rifle. I don't have a 303. I don't have any of those things because I don't sin. You know what I'm saying? So when the proverbial shit hits the proverbial fan, I won't use a 45. I won't use a 377 style. I won't use a 303 because I have none of those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I have
none.
You're
going to use a rusty steak knife after cutting a fucking steak and eating a fucking T-bone and fucking gut the motherfucker, the vegan motherfucker, with a rusty steak knife with a T-bone grease on it.
A fucking apple corer.
Look,
a fucking apple corer. I will not use an apple corer in someone's eyeball as they're crawling through my daughter's window. No, no, no. I will not use any of these things because it's not legal to do so.
Well, you got to get personal. You know, you know. Here's the deal. When the shit hits the fan, we're going to eat a big fucking juicy steak, and it's going to have T-bone grease all over the fucking steak knife. It's going to be a fucking Ginsu. Just to be like a Gaijin asshole.
Yeah, a fucking Gaijin asshole.
It's the fucking Ginsu when I was all coked up in the 80s watching these steak knife commercials. It's going to be full of fucking steak grease as I gut a commie straight open and his fucking intestines hit the floor and I spin him out for 90 miles while my cat licks his fucking...
Yeah. Hey,
what? Like, you know, I don't even have to go to Walmart to buy fucking dog food no more or cat food at Jumart. I can just let the Antifa's guts hang out from the fucking rusty Ginsu with the T-bone grease all over as my cat eats his fucking 90 mile long fucking intestines as fucking protein.
Hey, here's one for you, Mike. Here's one for you. Because when I'm talking to Tabs, because I've got so many people to talk to, I don't always like typing. So what I do is I record the things I do, as you know, and yeah. I send the recordings to you both so I don't have to be typing all the time. Well, here's one that I sent to Tabs about the Glock versus the baseball bat. Have a listen to this. You know, they didn't disarm us physically. Everybody thinks after the Port Arthur massacre that they disarmed us physically, and they did for a while, but... they gave us our guns back because too many guns enthusiasts said, right, fuck yous anyway. If you're not going to allow us to have guns, then we'll get them illegally. And then they can't be registered, and then the government doesn't know who's got a gun or not. So they had to bring in a thing that said, okay, we'll allow you to register your guns because they need to know who's got firearms and who haven't. But what they did is they disarmed us mentally. There is no excuse for self-defense with a firearm. So everybody, and you've got to tick, yes, I agree with that, when you go for your gun license. And it doesn't matter if it's A, B, C, or D license. You have to tick yes on all of those. So that's what they've done. They've disarmed us mentally. So I say this. Instead of taking my Glock 9 and pumping a few bullets in someone's head that's coming through my daughter's window, I'll just take the baseball bat, and I've got a good one, by the way, and smash his skull to pulp. And when the judge says, why did you do so much damage to the bloke? I said, because I wasn't allowed to use my fucking Glock. Wasn't allowed to use my Glock to kill the bastard, so I killed him with a fucking baseball bat. That's what you want, isn't it? It's obviously what you want, because you won't allow me to use my Glock. You know what? It would have been a quicker death for the dirty fucking cunt that was crawling through my little girl's window to just put a fucking 9 in his head. But no, that's not what you wanted. You wanted to disarm us mentally. There is no excuse for self-defense with a firearm here in Australia, so I didn't use a firearm. I used two things. I used an apicora to pull his fucking eyeball out and a fucking baseball bat to beat his brains in. You know? What else was I going to do to kill the bastard? And there's no option. Someone's crawling through my little girl's window. There is no option. He's dead. Now, you do what you have to, Judge. You put me away for as long as you want. But I'll sleep with a smile on my fucking face each night, knowing that my little girl is safe. Fuck you. Zog boy. Zog boy. I have no shame in saying any of this either. Like I said, I don't say anything that I'll regret. Yeah, you know, you could... Let's say that we had a falling out. You could put this all over YouTube and I'd be happy. And I know you wouldn't. I'm just saying, as an example. So when Ren
Grenade... Well, I can't, Sean, because I'm not allowed to put anything on YouTube. No.
...and put shit out that I'd said, they really were barking up the wrong tree. And this is what pissed them off the most. And so it's like, hey, hold on a second. I'll flop out my dick. Or I'll bend over and show you my ass. And you can put that all over fucking YouTube. I don't give a shit. What do I give a fuck? You know, I'm a public figure. I have been for a long fucking time. People are always going to try and find something up. But so instead of them finding it, I'll fucking show you. They really have nothing to gain from me at all. They're you know, lost in a corner. There's nothing they can fucking do, and it pisses them off. But yeah. What does our government want us to do? Put a Glock, a 9 in their head? Or pull out their fucking eyeball with an apple corer while I'm beating the fucking skull out of him? It's up to them. You know? I'm not a sicko, but by God, I'll do what's right. Someone comes crawling through my little girl's window, it's done. Firearm or not.
There we go. Dude, that's the end of it.
Fucking great, man. Fucking great.
You know, I don't hold back. I don't ever say anything I regret. Like, even behind the scenes, just to let the ladies and gentlemen know, I don't say anything I'm going to regret. If I'm saying something to Mike, or I'm saying something to Tabitha, as I was just in that recording, when it comes to the Glock versus baseball bat and the apple corer, I'm not saying anything I will regret. If there's things that are personal to me that I know that I shouldn't tell on air, I won't do it. But as you can see there, I don't hold back. There's nothing anybody can hold against me, because the only reason I'm saying it is because I'm willing to say it, you know, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And I got to tell you, I think it's great, man. You know, people used to have these, I remember the old aluminum baseball bats back when I was playing Little League Baseball.
Oh,
back
yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, the aluminum. Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Those are even better than the wooden Louisville Sluggers, because the wood might break off. You might get a splinter in the fucking head or something. But with the aluminum bat, dude, you can really fuck them up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not just that. Look, if you had a wooden baseball bat, you had to break it in half if you were going to smash someone's skull. Because otherwise it'd break during the fight, and you might lose part of it, and they can pick it up and use it against you. So what you do is you snapped it in half, and then when they come to your door, you walk out there and just go, fucking bam!
Or, Sean, you can just fucking shave down a toothbrush end and shank them jailhouse style. Right. Here's some Colgate, motherfucker. Oh, your intestines are clean, you fucking Tommy, you fucking son of a... Anyway, we'll be right back on their side. The SS New Year's Show.
Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Cats are evil. I know that a lot of people out there think that they're nice, warm and cuddly, but it's just not true. My mother used to have one called a Siamese, and it used to sit there at the wash house every night I come home from work. And I'd sort of sit there and get out of it. Get out of it, you mongrel. I'd give it a bit of a kick. And you know what had happened? My mother would look across as if, don't you kick my cat. She wouldn't hear it going, holy crap, they're evil.
News white people can use the first show on WTFR in the new year, 2020. And the Jew World Order is failing. You're listening to our failures right now, which you're hearing baseball bat talk, guts with Ginsu's, cat food from Jew Mart, shaved off Colgate toothbrushes with, you know, at least your guts will smell mini fresh as they're...
Run to the first base! Run to the first base! Go! Run to the first base! There's a Jew after you! No, go to second! No, go back to first! Oh, fuck! Shit! We're on WTFR.
Sean, we should do the fucking Arian Abbott and Costello Jews on first. Who's on first, skit? Nah! Jews on first! No, who's on second? No, he's coming after me for looming a baseball bat! No, it's a fucking apple. God damn it. Oh my god, the groin's on I'm fucking home. He's in my home.
I fucking vey.
Who's on first?
I fucking vey. Run the foist.
We have like Babe Ruth at home plate eating a hot dog, you know, getting a Hummer from some hooker from the old Yankee Stadium with the wooden baseball Louisville Slugger going, I dare you. I fucking dare you.
Yeah. He's got the hot dogs. Look at the Babe's roots. You know what, though? He was a fucking legendary fucking baseball player.
Yeah.
Ruth was a fucking legendary baseball player. No one can refute that. He was fucking awesome. You know, it's like, dude, you need to go back to South Africa to teach how to them to do it. You know, fucking, what are you doing in America? You know, fuck.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
I mean, these fucking fucks. But, you know, our sports are destroyed. That used to be the white superhero, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You had Babe Ruth. You had Lou Gehrig. You had fucking Mickey Mantle. Fucking Irish dude. You had fucking, you know. And now it's like for Christmas, there was a gift that was put out. It was an Orlando Magic jersey of this Muhammad Bama. Center for the Orlando Magic, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? What the fuck? Who gave this gift?
Could you imagine a Muhammad? Could you imagine a Muhammad over there on the baseball field? Like, all of a sudden he smacks it to the outfield, and you go, go to the outfield, go to the outfield. As he gets to the fucking first base, and you're thinking, shit, is he going to do this to every fucking base? And sure as shit, right, all the way to fucking,
as he hits home, you know?
Right, as he gets to home base, he's like, home. Right, and you're not home, dude. Home is fucking in Iraq. Fuck out of here!
You know? No, but the big thing is, over the holidays, there was this gift that one of my family members gave to these nephews of mine, whatever, and it was this Orlando Magic jersey, and it was this center, this the new big big player in the Nigger Ball Association, the NBA. It's Muhammad Bama. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And you pull up a picture of this guy. This guy looks like a pissed off fucking groid Muslim from fucking, you know, North Africa, you know? And he's making, you know, and here's the big joke, dude. While we're doing the show making fun of him, guess what? He's making $35 million a year.
Of course.
Fucking prick.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's always the motherfuckers, the dirty pricks that are destroying white Western civilization that are making the most money. That's always the way it's been. You know, like I've just recently found, as you know, Mike, that I've got to get out of this house because this old fucking boomer fucking capitalist prick, and that he's basically telling me, right, I'm going to put your rent up $15. Now, $15 doesn't sound like much, but on the same token, I'm not getting a hell of a lot of work here. So $15 to me is a lot, given that this place should have been condemned a long time ago. I deliberately got this condemned place knowing that I thought it would be cheap, but I'm paying $220 a week. You know, with bugger all fucking work. Bugger all fucking work. So now I've got to get out of here because he wants to put it up $15. I'm like, no, dude, this place is only worth $150. I've been paying $220 a week for the last fucking 3 years. Like, fucking really? You dirty dog. And now I can't name him legally at the present time, but I fucking will be once I get the permits. I'll be naming his address, his name, the whole fucking lot. Once I get the legal permits for radio. Seriously. You know, these dirty dogs, these dirty Jew-ass dogs, you know, he might not be Jewish, but he acts like one. I'm sick to death of this shit. You know, now I've got to move, and we might have to have a pause just to let everybody know. We might have to have a pause in WTFR for about a week, maybe even 2 weeks. So you're going to have to bear with me. Yeah, I know. Because of a fucking crypto Jew dog. A crypto Jew fucking... Jesus Christ. You know, it pisses me off to no end. I said to him, right to his face, I said, yeah, because you're a capitalistic dog. That's what you are. You know, of course, he won't fucking bark back at me. And I said to him, I said, I've heard things about you around the town, the whole fucking lot. And he was sort of like, oh, it'd only be good things. And I said, absolutely bad things. You know, we had people coming to the captain's house that were saying, oh, you're talking about Bernie. And I can use the first name. I can't use the second name. They say, you use the word, you're talking about Bernie. I went, absolutely. And they said it straight out. He's a dog, mate. He's a fucking capitalistic dog.
Bernie. That sounds like a fucking oy vey.
Yeah, it does. He doesn't look like it. I must admit, but it does fucking sound like it. I'm not allowed to use his last name, but I will be once I get the permits to reveal him, just like any of the mainstream use the permits. Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolute dog.
Dude, I had a fucking, about 4 years ago, I lived in an apartment in South Georgia, and I had this landlord that, and I hit hard times, and you know, I was behind in my rent a little bit, and I said, no big deal, I'm going to make it up to you. I have a job, and it's all going to come back to you. And she was like, well, you know, you're like 2 weeks late on your rent, and do you believe in God? Maybe you should pray for God, and he'll open a way for you. And I was like, you fucking dirty bitch.
Yeah.
You're sitting here telling me to worship God because you want back due rent? You fucking cunt. I mean, this is the mindset of these people. Do you understand what I'm saying, man?
Absolutely. You know what? You know, one of the things, I've never, ever been behind in rent, ever. In all of the places I've been since I was 14 years of age, I've never been behind in rent. And I said to this Bernie character, I said, you know I've looked after you. I said, you take a look at the state of this house. As much as it should be condemned, I have kept it up. I have looked after it. And he said, yeah, I have no doubt about that. He said, but, oh, the back lawns aren't great. I said, look, I'm not here. I have to go and look after the captain full time. I said, I'm not here. I said, it's easier for you to grab a guy to go and mow your fucking lawns because you've got properties all over fucking Australia. I said, but me, I don't have that sort of money. So I've got to wait. I've got to come back and then I've got to assess the situation. And then I've got to go out there and do the lawns. In the meantime, your house is looked after and I'm paying you $220 a fucking week, which is $440 a fortnight or what you call every other week, Mike. And you're telling me that there's a fucking problem here? I'm living with well water. There's no mainstream water here. His pump is a piece of shit that doesn't even pump water through to the shower properly. So me and my kids have a really shitty shower. It's fucking unreal that they can fucking try and lump us with it. Then he wants me to pay instead of $220 a week, $235 a week? $15 doesn't sound like much unless it's a piece of shit. I should be paying $150 a week here. And I said to the captain, I said, look, there's a place in town that's $300 a week. I'll grab that because at least I've got a really good place. It's running water that's coming from the town, running water, the whole lot, rather than this shit. They really do. These crypto Jews and Jews just want us to live in shit. It's absolutely unbelievable, Mike.
Yeah, they're fucking slumlords, man. This is what they do.
Yeah.
This gets back to the whole libertarian retard shit that we used to, believe in back in the day. They believed in the fucking, what was that school? The Institute. I can't remember what it was, but it was what Ron Paul and all these fuckers believed. The guy was a fucking slumlord. You know, this is my free market, man. My free market. It's not a free market, man. It's not, it's, look, anyway, it pisses me off, Sean. It pisses me the fuck off. And then they always bring up, like I was telling you about my old landlord back in the day, about 4 years ago. And I'm going to tell you this story on the show tonight. It's an interesting story. So I couldn't pay. Well, I could pay. I had the money to pay her, but I refused to pay her. So I moved the fuck out. I'm principal. What you're talking about. I said, fuck it, I'm out of here. I'm fucking out of here. Fuck you. I'm not giving you my fucking money. So I moved into this dump hotel. Here's the funny story, Sean. You're going to die laughing.
No, you're going to die laughing because I had to live in a dump hotel. Again, brothers from another money. Keep going and then I'll tell you my story.
Okay, so I moved out and I moved into this fucking dump fucking hotel. And you're in Australia. I don't know if you ever heard of the Little Rascals.
Yeah, the Little Rascals. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this hotel was owned by Darla of the Little Rascals, the girl that was in the Little Rascals. And this hotel was a Georgia National Monument. And it also became, because I hit rock bottom, dude. I fucking moved out. I was a horrible alcoholic. I lived in this dump. And it was called the Pink Palace. But it was a Georgia National Historic Landmark with all these meth heads and fucking weirdos. And dude, it was fucking a nightmare to live there. But yeah. I lived there. This is back like 5 years ago. And, you know, here's what's funny. I move out of this place, you know, and I get my shit back together and I get my money back and all this kind of stuff. And I move out. Guess what? They're shooting a movie at this hotel with Dennis Quaid and Bruce Willis.
Oh, wow.
And they're shooting it in the room I used to live in this hotel, as the main prop with my old furniture still in the room right now.
Oh, wow.
And you can lift up, you can actually look at TiftonGeorgiaGrapevine.com. Here's the funny part. You're going to die laughing, Sean. This movie stars Bruce Willis, Dennis Quaid, and Queen Latifah.
Oh, fucking Latifah. Jesus.
And my wife told me, she like texted me this like a couple weeks ago, and she goes, can you believe when we were separated and you were a degenerate drunk and you hit rock bottom, that piece of shit place you lived in, it's a movie set now.
Jesus Christ. I don't think, but by the way, just to say, just to put this out, I don't think you being a drunk makes you a degenerate, by the way. I really don't. I happen to think that we go through hard times. You and I are both anxious types of people, and this is probably why we became alcoholics. I started drinking when I was 13. You started drinking when you were 14. So I think it's more about anxiety, not degeneracy. There's nothing degenerate about becoming an alcoholic. It's just really hard to get off the fucking thing.
That's horrible. Horrible. Yeah. That being said, but what's so funny is she texted me when she showed me this clip of them shooting the movie there. This is like 2 weeks ago. You can look this up, man. It's on Tifton, Georgia, Grapevine, Little Rascals Hotel, Tifton, Georgia. I lived in this place like 5 years ago, and it was the horrible – dude, I was on the streets, man. I was living – and I know you're from the streets as well. I mean, we're pretty much similar in many ways.
Yeah.
Dude, I had to fight for everything, dude. I was the only white guy. Well, there were other white guys there, but there were like meth freaks and weirdos. There were pimps there. Dude, I was living in the streets, man, like fighting for my survival, dude.
Yeah.
You know, trying to scrounge money. It was the most horrible. And this is after Renegade, dude. It was horrible, dude. Fucking horrible.
It's one thing. A lot of people think that, getting paid or something like that on the street is, you can be alive that way. But I'm talking about survival, where you actually have to go in out and hunt your own food. I was out in the wilderness, not just the streets, but the wilderness. It can be a hard thing, a difficult thing. I had a pet ferret at the time. It sounds funny, I know, but I had a pet ferret, and I used to put her down the burrows. And get her to chase the rabbits out and hit the nets. One day she didn't come back up. So I had to look at my situation once she didn't come back up. I started digging as much as I possibly could. I couldn't find her. Flo, I called her. And what happens is I couldn't find Flo. So I thought, okay, now I'm in trouble. I'm way up here in the tops of the Alpines, trying to survive, so I had to start actually catching fish. I don't think a lot of people understand. They seem to think that life is hard, but you really don't know what life is until you have to survive. See, it's one thing to live and enjoy, but it's another thing to have to survive. This is what Mike and I are talking about here, where we have to survive, not just live, but survive. Big difference.
Dude, it was the most horrifying experience I ever had, but the most liberating experience I had at the same time.
Amen.
Because I felt totally free, even though I didn't know where I was going to eat the next day or what I was going to do. I had no car. I had a shitty job, dude. I mean, dude, I was working at the fucking Waffle House, man. For those that have been to America, it's like the most worst job you can get besides McDonald's. And this is like 5 years ago, man. And I had no money, and I was just drinking and living in the shithole. And I didn't know what I was going to do, man. I was like, but it was the best experience I ever had, Sean, because the people I met and – yeah, a lot of them were non-whites, but I met a lot of white people, too, in this situation. But the honesty you meet on the street level, it taught me a whole new – it showed me a different way. It taught me how to be humble, and it taught me that when I started making money again – and I'm pretty good now. I'm pretty successful now. I got a good job. I do pretty well. I have a beautiful woman who I love, but I'm telling you, man. Being down in the doldrums, when you reach that point, it teaches you a whole new respect for when you do make a little bit of something. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, I do.
And I got to tell you, man, but I got to tell you, looking back on that experience, I never felt more free. I wrote a whole book, The Last Garden, which I put up. It's out there on audiobook. I wrote a whole novel. I was so creative during that time because I had nothing, man. But I did have a pen and a composition book, man. I didn't even have a computer. And this is after Renegade, dude. I was fucking totally lost. And I wrote and wrote and wrote. Like, just, that's all I did was write. And it was the most liberating experience I ever had. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what freedom is until you leave behind all the vices that society tells you is what it takes to be free. Money, status. I had nothing. I was looked on as a fucking hobo, as a fucking loser. And, but I never lost my pride. I never lost my self-respect. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, wrote jokes, wrote stories. That was the most creative period I ever had, Sean.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you don't know what you lose until you lose it. And that brings out something in us. For instance, I've always said that if I end up going to prison for hate speech, I'm going to write a book, and I will make perfectly sure that it will be a book that is delivered well. I'm not stupid. I've created radio stations all around the world, whether it be remotely or directly when I go to the United States or something like that. So, I mean, we learn from our experiences. There's no doubt about it. One of the biggest problems I've had is that a lot of the people that I've known have said, oh, that's Sean, he'll go nowhere. He'll go nowhere because he was a fucking idiot in school because he got pulled out of school in year nine. Well, only because I stabbed a teacher in the foot. I stabbed her in the fucking foot because she was a, she was a total asshole. And I was sitting down on the ground and she came out and she kept pushing your fucking foot into me, like kicking me. So I had a lead pencil and I just went fucking bam straight through her foot and went, get the fuck out of here. And of course I was charged and everything. Like they took me out of school. My mother said that they end up dropping the charges, but the thing is, my mother said, I'm taking you out of school. I said, no worries, it suits me fine. I couldn't give a fuck. But the thing is, it's funny, isn't it, that all of our accomplishments that we have out of school aren't merited. It's sort of like, well, because it wasn't in school, it's not merited. Well, hold on a second. I've learned more out of school than anything. I've created radio stations and it had nothing to do with school. School didn't ever fucking try and teach me how to create radio stations or start to code and fucking script and all of that. It had nothing to do with it. So why can they try and take credit for that shit? Oh, yeah, I was actually a teacher to Sean at one stage. Go fuck yourself, Mr. Nancaro, you fucking Jew-looking cunt. You didn't have anything to do with me starting a radio station. All you had to do with to me is belittle me the whole time I was there, you fat fucking boomer fuck, you know?
Yeah. Dude, but you know what, man? It's like Charles Bukowski said, you know, he didn't have a hit, a big popular book until he was 50, you know, and he wrote since he was like 25, 26, and he wrote all these books and all of them flops. And when he became 50, you know, he finally had a hit. He finally had a big seller.
Yeah.
Post Office, I believe. And, let me tell you something, man. All of this, you know, there's one thing that I do believe in, and that is that everything that you go through in life, you know, it toughens you up.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Guys, dude.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, and now we're ready.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is our year, and this is the network, and I'm so excited, and we have been toughened up. We have hit the streets. You have hit the woods, the forest. Dude, we've fucking been through hell, man.
Yeah.
But we needed to go through the hell.
Absolutely.
In order to face the enemy that we face, because this is not beanbag, you know? You know, this is fucking serious shit. and we joke around, but at the end of the day, this is serious business.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have the stomach for it, you won't survive. You won't last a day, dude.
If you don't have the stomach for it, you need to fuck off because you're a little pussy bitch. Plain and simply.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true though, right?
Dude, absolutely. Dude, because what we face is like, you know, you got to be hardened for this battle, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a – and I look back on everything that happened, and not that I'm trying to get esoteric. Sean, I'm not going there. But I will say this. I do believe that, you know, it's like evolution, man. You know? I mean, survival of the fittest. You know, we're tough motherfuckers, man.
I mean, yeah, we are.
I mean, you know, and I don't talk about myself a lot, but I can honestly tell you, man, I've been in situations where I thought I was going to die, like get shot, stabbed, fucking street shit that you wouldn't believe, man.
Oh, same here.
And this is
same
after here. Renegade, yeah. Dude. Yeah. This is like not that long ago, okay? And I got to tell you, man, that it gave me a whole new perspective. But it made me realize, as I was walking down the street one day, hungry as hell, with like $1.50 in my pocket, and all I could buy was some ramen noodles to eat. That's all I had, man. I had to buy like ramen noodles and Vienna sausage. I had no money at all. This is like in 2016, man.
Yeah.
And I'm walking down the street, going to my shitty fucking drug hotel room. And I wasn't doing drugs, but... You know, I was living in a place that was fucking infested with it. Whores and drugs and horrible shit.
You've got about 1 minute before you finish your show.
I know.
Hey, I've got something to play for you.
All right.
Actually, to play for your audience, I think that you will appreciate this. This is the uncensored version of the Jimmy X disclaimer.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Dude, I love that. You know what? Jimmy X has the greatest radio voice of all time, dude.
Well, he's actually a professional radio host to this day.
I know he is. Yeah, I know he is. Yeah, it's fucking amazing to hear that.
Look, you're coming to the end of the show. Take us out.
All right, come on. Thanks for joining me, man. News White People Can Use. Everybody up there listening, no matter what you're going through, keep your head up and don't stay alive, dude. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. Life is amazing. Life is amazing.
The following advertisement is brought to you by a non-paid, non-crisis actor on WTFR Radio.
Hi, I am Mike Sledge, and I am not a Klansman or a neo-Nazi, but I consider myself a real white nationalist, and I highly recommend as part of your regime to listen to WTFR at least 7 days a week to build up those hate muscles. So you can be ready for the electric boogaloo WTFR, where thought is first.